All right, so let's see. If we were talking about a TV promo for the college football playoff and there'd be something for Clemson or Georgia or whatever, and you leave out Alabama, it's like, what were you thinking? So here's Fox, innocent enough, right? You know, got the build up for the U.S. Open, and they leave the defending two-time champion, Brooks Koepka, out of the promo. You don't need, I'm sure all the other golfers are like, what are you doing? This guy does not need any extra motivation.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I completely agree with that. And the people who do those promos aren't necessarily the people who are covering the event. As everyone knows, these networks have their own promo departments. And those people just went with the golfers they knew. You know, they went with Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus and, you know, some exciting shots from Opens past. And they completely forgot the guy who was attempting to make 114-year history by winning three in a row. Granted, Brooks Koepka might not be the most exciting player, but right now he's the best player. He's the top number one player in the world. And you just don't need to do anything to motivate that guy any more than he already is. And he loves this sort of thing. This is what he thrives on. He wants to be disrespected and overlooked because that's when he's at his best.
You know who he reminds me of? He totally reminds me of Tom Brady in the sense that Tom Brady, even to this day, still holds it against the NFL football world for making him a six-round draft pick coming out of Michigan. Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Maybe if his talent was better at Michigan, and maybe it would have been a different story. But the bottom line is he should be grateful that because of that slight, he worked harder, and now look at the dividends 20 years later.
Yeah, the only difference is Brooks Koepka looks a heck of a lot more like an NFL player than Tom Brady.
that's absolutely true. And look, this isn't the first go-around. I mean, Brooks Koepka has been, you know, enjoying success, but, you know, he's been, and he feels slighted. And this isn't the first time he's felt slighted, you know, during this run over the last three seasons.
That's true. And, you know, the interesting thing about Brooks and listening to him this week, when he was given his press conferences, he takes the golf's ultimate test, the U.S. Open, and he just simplifies it. He just says, look, that, you know, there's no rough in the middle of the fairway. And if you hit the middle of the fairway and you hit the middle of the greens, this golf tournament shouldn't be that difficult to win. I mean, look, you've got to give the guy all the respect in the world for the fact that he really believes this stuff. He believes that he can go out there and hit more fairways and hit more greens and make more birdie putts than anybody else in the field, and that includes, you know, the Masters champion Tiger Woods and a lot of other guys. He is really on a different plane right now. He has gone down the list of the top players in the world, and he just ticked them off. Yep, I beat you. I beat you. I beat DJ. I beat Tiger Woods. I've beaten all these other guys. I've beaten Rory McIlroy down the stretch, head to head. And that's what you have to do to gain confidence to win major championships.
Now, he's certainly, you know, I think finally what he was able to do with the back-to-back PGA championships, he's now finally, you know, put himself over the top, and now people are paying attention to him. But here's the thing. You look at his success in the U.S. Open over the last 5 years. I don't know how many golfers, if any, can talk about being in three top four finishes over the last 5 years, including two championships in the U.S. Open, and the other two that he wasn't in the top four, 18th and 13th. So that's the U.S.
Yeah.
Open. And then you look at the success in the PGA Championship over the last 6 years, including two titles. Four of the 6 years, he was in the top five, all six in the top 15. And yet he's still having to get respect. It's almost like we're waiting for a Rodney Dangerfield kind of commercial to come out.
It really is. And the crazy thing about this is it isn't just from, like, the people at Fox. I mean, a buddy of mine was taking the shuttle in to Pebble Beach from his hotel, and the shuttle driver is ticking off the list of all of the favorites, you know, seven or eight names, Dustin Johnson, Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, completely left off the two-time champion. It's extraordinary the number of people who simply dismiss him. He's the number one player in the world, and rightfully so. He's already had a Hall of Fame career, and quite frankly, he's one misread putt at Augusta National on 18 from perhaps going for the Grand Slam right now.
All right, so a couple of the favorites this weekend, you know, we mentioned Brooks Koepka. He doesn't have a lot of experience at Pebble Beach. And then Tiger Woods, you know, he's had success there when he's played, but he's also really hasn't seen the course a lot lately.
No, he hasn't. And look, this is a much different Pebble Beach than what we saw in 2000. This Pebble in 2000, you had the June gloom blow in. It was wet. It was very soft. Tiger could fly the tee shot exactly where he wanted to hit it. And quite frankly, Tiger, as good as Tiger is right now, he was miles better in 2000.
Yeah, Tiger's. Tiger has actually played the course four times. Since he won in 2010 at Pebble Beach, and his last appearance was 7 years ago, 2012. A lot of things can happen in 7 years.
A lot of things can happen in 7 years, but the Pebble Beach up until today, it was 90 degrees out there, very un-Pebble Beach like weather. So you're talking about a firm, dry golf course, which is not something they're accustomed to seeing out there. And look, you've taken a golf course that is by major championship standards relatively short right now, and made it a lot more difficult because those shots are going to run out into the rough.
All right, so Phil Mickelson, he's had success at Pebble Beach, where he's won, five times previously. Unfortunately, none of those involved the U.S. Open. He has never won a U.S. Open. He has finished second not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, not five times. Six times he's finished as a runner-up in the U.S. Open. Is it just one of these tournaments he's not meant to win?
Well, look, you just got to drive it straight there. That's the thing about the U.S. Open. You can't hit errant tee shots, and that's Phil's game. You're able to get away with that at Augusta National, certainly, where it's a second-shot golf course, and you're known for seeing miraculous recovery shots from everyone from Tiger to Seve Ballesteros to Phil. But the PGA Championship gives you wider landing areas than other majors. U.S. Open, not so much. I mean, you're looking at you're looking at bowling lanes out there with some of these fairways that you're trying to hit, and he just simply can't throttle it back enough to hit enough fairways. You think back to Winged Foot, which is an Open that he absolutely should have won, and he hits it off a merchandise tent. I mean, there's all kinds of opportunities that the man has had that he has just blown. And I don't know how many more chances he's going to have. In your late 40s, this is not a championship that holds up well under those kinds of nerves. But, we'll see. He can always get hot with the putter, and that makes the difference.
Well, see, he was getting commissioned because he was drawing attention to the merchandise pavilion and the structure there. And so he was getting a little bit of the action there, and that's why he did it. So, I thought that was a smart business. Maybe I could go somewhere, but I'm not going to. I'm going to be nice. I said something earlier, and I know because you're from the state of Georgia, from Atlanta, just not too far from you is Augusta and the Masters. But I said something, and it really stems from my first, viewing of golf on television back when I was a kid, and I'm not talking teenager either. I'm talking about 7, 8, 9 years of age. And I think it's just because of the atmosphere, how the golf course shapes, along the coast. If I had to pick, play a round of golf at Pebble Beach or play a round of golf in Augusta, I wouldn't even hesitate. For me, it's Pebble Beach. It's always been my favorite course ever. And I know it sounds crazy, and you're probably, like I said, with ties there in the state of Georgia, you're going to think I'm absolutely nuts by saying that. It's just, it's personal opinion. It's always been one of my favorite courses to watch and view. And if I had the bucket list thing, can only pick one or the other, I would choose Pebble Beach.
Look, Johnny, you and I are in the same category. I can drive to Augusta and back and make a day trip out of it. And people ask me all the time, what's your favorite golf club in the world? It's Cypress Point, which is right next to Pebble Beach. In fact, the property abuts. That is the most beautiful spot on the planet. And when you take good golf and put it on the cliffs of the Monterey Peninsula, there's just nothing better anywhere in the world.
What is the difficulties being situated like that, as far as weather, wind, things that can certainly hamper the golfers over the week?
Well, look, fog is going to blow in. There's just no doubt about it. In June, in that area of the country, you've got cold water, warm air. You know, that's going to produce fog, a lot of times it's going to be difficult to see. They were out playing practice rounds today, and you couldn't see a shot that went further than about 150 yards. But you know, you're going to have cold, damp conditions. Pebble Beach in placid conditions is not that difficult to golf course. If they get no wind and no rain and no real weather blowing in, you can expect 10, 11, maybe as much as 12 under par to win this thing. Weather blows in, it's going to be very close to even par. In fact, when Jack Nicklaus won in 72, I think he was the only player under par. So, look, it can be as tough as you want it to be, but it all depends on the weather.
Steve Eubanks joining us again. Is that one of the reasons? I mean, if I had to pick four favorites, two automatically, Brooks Koepka and the next guy, Tiger Woods, and mainly because just watching Tiger's approach where he doesn't take unnecessary risk anymore, and he plays the course. He's not trying to make up ground or whatever the case may be, and you look back at his win at the Masters earlier. I thought from a strategy standpoint, I thought it was a brilliant strategy and one of the reasons why we're talking about Tiger Woods winning. Because of that, even before this season began, I remember our conversations prior to this year's major, that we had this one circled, the best opportunity for Tiger Woods to win a major this year would be the U.S. Open. And the fact that he's already got one, this would be an extra, scoop of ice cream on that Sunday.
Yeah, his iron play is extraordinary. And the fact that he might only hit four drivers around this week plays well into that strategy. You know, being able to hit two iron, six or seven iron into some of these holes, that's right in his wheelhouse. I mean, those are the clubs where he dominates. So, look, I think that I would be very, very surprised if you don't see Tiger on the first page of the leaderboard, especially if his back holds up and he's feeling healthy.
All right, so to fill out that top four, you can look at Dustin Johnson, you could look at Roy McIlroy or a Justin Rose, or even if you just want to play, from a sentimental standpoint, try to include Phil Mickelson, although just something tells me that's not going to be a factor this weekend. If I stay with those, five golfers, am I in pretty good shape?
I think you're in great shape, especially considering the week Rory McIlroy had last week. My goodness. When he's on, nobody can touch him. It's not even close. It's a runaway. And as he proved in Canada last week with his victory there, I mean, it was a display to watch. If he can continue that one more week, he is definitely somebody that you want to put on the watch list.
From a mental standpoint, because it's a major, there's extra pressure, obviously, if you're one of the top golfers in the world. But, if you want to get specific, and that approach, whether it's the first one with the Masters, you want to get off to a great start for an upcoming golf season. But in this case, the U.S. Open and what it just truly means to be the U.S. champion, for 2019, which one has more pressure as far as leading into a tournament? A U.S. Open, a Masters, which one of the four majors would you throw in that boat?
Oh, I would say the U.S. Open simply because of the difficulty that the USGA sets up each of the golf courses. I mean, the Masters, look, it's the same golf course every year, and you know what to expect. There's a small little second cut of rough. The greens are what make the golf course a test. But quite frankly, I mean, it isn't that deep a field. It's the smallest field of any major championship, and you've got some amateurs thrown in there and some past champions who may be past their prime who are obviously not going to win. So look, there's only, as Brooks Koepka would say, there's only a handful of guys that you have to beat if you're on the top of your game. The U.S. Open, I will guarantee you Thursday and Friday, the first page of the leaderboard is going to be full of some names that you're going to say, who? Because it's always that way. And it's one of those that anybody can jump up and win if you catch them on a good week. So it is the most difficult, and I think the one that Americans in particular want more than any other.
All right, so you have 30 books to your credit, including working with the late Arnold Palmer on his last two. But say during that stretch of the first five books that you were writing, was there any part of you that thought, hey, one day I can qualify? Because anybody, myself, Jay, you, anybody listening can actually, if you're good enough, you can qualify to compete in the U.S. Open. Was there ever a part of you that thought, maybe, just maybe, on one given solid run that I could qualify for this?
Yeah, you know, I actually attempted to qualify, go through local qualifying several times, and when I finally gave it up was when I was 40 years old, and I went out and I shot, I think I shot one under in local qualifying, which, given the conditions of the golf course, I thought was pretty darn good. And I got in and asked the official on hand asked me how I had done. I said, "Oh, I shot one under," and he said, "Too bad." And I thought, "Well, that's it for me."
Well, there is that.
That's all I have.
There is a thing called the Senior U.S. Open. Do the same rules apply?
Well, yeah, I can actually, I could go out and attempt to do that now, although I may be at this stage a little bit past my prime, but, you know, I can certainly give that a whirl.
Hey, I wanted to get your thoughts on something else before we let you go. Yesterday, the World Cup began for our U.S. women, and they take care of business against Thailand, winning 13-0. And immediately, you started seeing the backlash. You know, they should have stopped. Why were they running the score up? Well, first of all, that's not on the U.S. women. To me, it's on the organization. It's on this tournament that if there's a team like Thailand in this, maybe that's sending the message that there's not 24 countries good enough to compete for the World Cup. Because if you're getting beat 13-0, then maybe you don't need to be there in the first place. Secondly, because one of the things to advance and from a seed standpoint, advancing in their particular group, Group F, or any of these groups for that matter, it comes down to goal differential, which means if you outscore the opponent in their case, they're plus 13 going into their second match on Sunday against Chile. So that's not on the U.S. to keep from scoring. That's on the way this tournament is set up. That's on Thailand to get better. And that's on the organization. If there's not 24 solid teams out there, then maybe they should rethink this the next go around.
Yeah, look, I mean, you can't tell these players, "Oh, listen, don't play hard anymore." I mean, what are you talking about? Especially when, as you say, goal differential is a tiebreaker. It's one of the things that there's taken into account for advancement. I mean, you run up the score every chance you get when that's the case. And I have always been a believer, sure, put in your second string, put in your third string, even put in your fourth string. But you got to tell those people to play hard.
Right.
Play as hard as you can. Whatever string is out there, they had better give it all they have. And you cannot put that on the Americans. I would say to Thailand, just get better. I mean, if you don't want to lose 13-0, if you don't want to be embarrassed, just play better.
I mean, because the bottom line is this, you know, after you play your three, you know, against your other three opponents in your group, then we go down to elimination play. If you want to win, you can't lose at that point moving forward. So you have to be clicking on all cylinders, and that's not on the U.S. if Thailand's not good enough.
No, that is absolutely not on the U.S., and you've got to learn to play every minute of the game, and you got to play hard for every minute. I'm glad the U.S. did.
All right, so who are you picking? I'm going to go with Mr. Florida State himself. I'm going to go with Brooks Koepka.
I am going with Rory McIlroy only because I saw him how he played last week, and it was something special.
How about Tiger? Will we be talking about Tiger in the final nine, the back nine on Sunday?
The only times I've ever been wrong is when I have underestimated him, so I'm going to say yes.
Oh, good. Well, I would love for all three of the ones we just mentioned to be, and even let's throw Phil Mickelson in that. I would love all four of those to be relevant in the back nine coming up on Sunday.
Boy, wouldn't that be great?